بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the foundations of Sheikh Ibn Sa'di rahimahullah, and we have reached foundation number 13. And this foundation, it states, الْإِتْلَافُ يَسْتَوِي فِيهِ الْمُتَعَمِّدُ وَالْجَاهِلُ وَالنَّاسِ. The liability for destruction of something holds likewise, whether done by a deliberate, ignorant, or forgetful person. This foundation is in regard to matters that are not the rights of Allah. And in this sense, the foundation is comprehensive, covering the destruction of souls, properties, and rights. So whoever destroys something unjustly, then he is held liable, whether he did that deliberately or due to ignorance or forgetfulness. Some of the scholars went to the opinion that if it is deliberate, then he is liable as well as sinful. And if he was not deliberate in his destruction, then there is only liability. However, the preponderating opinion is that regarding the rights of people and creation, then the destruction is absolutely, he is liable for the destruction, whether it is deliberate or done because of ignorance or forgetfulness. However, with respect to ignorance and forgetfulness, then he is liable, but there is no sin upon him. But there is no sin upon him. Then what about the one who is compelled? If someone is compelled, then there is liability upon him. However, he would be, the compeller as well would be on equal footing with respect to the liability, meaning on both equally. Because the one who does the destruction is the one who initiates it directly, and the compeller is the one who made him do that. And with respect to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no liability upon the person who is ignorant, and also upon the person who done that due to forgiveness, to forgetfulness. There is also no liability upon the one compelled. Even in the great matters or the most stringent liabilities, like in the case of the the game, hunting the game for the person who is in a state of ihram, going for Hajj and or Umrah, if he is ignorant or forgetful or compelled, then there is nothing upon him, neither sin nor liability. So if a person, for example, forgot and hunted a rabbit while the person is in a state of ihram, then there is nothing upon him because he didn't do that deliberately. And also, if he hunts a game thinking that it is not from the forbidden game, then afterwards it becomes clear that it is from the forbidden game, then also there is nothing upon him. Some of the majority of the scholars, however, are on the opinion that there is penalty upon him. However, the correct opinion that this applies only to the deliberate killing of the game, because the verse is explicit. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 95 وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلَ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعْمِ. Oh, you believe, kill not game while you are in a state of ihram for Hajj or Umrah. And whosoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an offering brought to the Kaaba. You see that? One who kills it intentionally. Now, if someone says, what about killing some person by mistake? We know that two things are required here upon him. The first is the diya, which is the blood money. The second is the expiation. Now, if someone says, you know, the expiation is the right of Allah. Now, we know with respect to the blood money, this is the right of the human. And then since he destroyed the human life, so therefore, he is held liable. And Allah ordained the expiation in this unintentional murder, although it is his right, Allah's right. That is because of two things, two reasons. The great matter of committing this action, which is a matter which is related to blood. And this is that the greatest soul that to be destroyed is that the soul of the human. And so therefore it is a must to be caution. Because if we say there is no expiation, then someone may transgress the limits and deliberately kill someone and says that it is undeliberate. And secondly, it is possible that there could be some kind of negligence in his killing, in this undeliberate killing. So for these two reasons, therefore, there is an exception with respect to the matter of the expiation. And also from the reasons that are related to the liability is the destruction by grazing animals or animals that are under one's disposal and management, and which he takes out at night or during the day close to around a grazing place where it may destroy, or that he leashes his animal, which is known to be a transgressive, ferocious animal, for example, let it loose in people's markets and their pathways, then in this case he is held liable because of this transgression. So if someone has some cattle and he takes it out and it destroys something, then he is held liable. And similarly, if he takes it out at night, then liability is upon him, because it is the norm that the people of cattle keep them at night, and the people of farms are asleep. However, during the daylight, then the liability falls upon the owner of the farms, the owner of the farm. Also, if someone sends the cattle, the grazing cattle, close to that which it may normally destroy, then he is also liable. And this, the evidence for this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "كالراعي يرعى حول الحما يوشك أن يقع فيه." Like the shepherd who pastures around a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. And this is an agreed upon hadith. So if someone is, for example, taking his sheep or camels close to a pasturing or close to a farm, and then he neglects it and it destroys something, then there is he is held liable because he let it go close to that which it normally destroys. Also, with respect to an animal which is like a dog, for example, the rapacious or the voracious dogs, if someone let it go and it attacks people, then he is held liable. This is really the meaning of this foundation in terms of the liability. And as you see, it distinguishes between the liability in terms of the rights of the creation in comparison with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go to foundation 14. Foundation 14. In this foundation, it states, this foundation states, التلفُ في يد الأمين غير مضمون إذا لم يتعد أو يفرط وفي يد الظالم مضمون مطلقا أو يقال ما ترتب على المأذون فهو غير مضمون والعكس بالعكس. This foundation states the following: there is no liability upon the bearer of trust for destruction of something if there is no negligence or deliberate transgression on his part. This foundation can be put in other words, more general, to say there is no liability for destruction when there is permission. And the opposite is true. Repeat. There is no liability upon the bearer of trust for destruction of something if there is no negligence or deliberate transgression on his part. The same, but in a more general sense, we say it, there is no liability for destruction when there is permission. And the opposite is true. To begin this discussion, we need to know the three hands. The bearers are three kinds. You know, so we're talking about the bearer of trust. The bearers are three, or saying that the people are three, the persons are three, the hands are three. A possessing one, first. Second, a trusted one. Third, a wrongful one. So we have first the possessing one. The trusted one and the wrongful one. These are the hands or the bearers of trust. Fall into these three categories. With respect to the possessing one, the possessing person, the one who possesses an article or a utility, he has the right of full disposal and management on it. So therefore, the gain will be his and also the loss will be upon him. Clear? Is that clear? This is with respect to the possessor of a property. He has its gains, and upon him are its losses. Clear? With respect to the second, this is the trusted one. The trusted bearer is the one who receives the article, the identified article, by way of a permit from the legislator or the owner or the acceptance of the one who may have authority on this thing, on this article or object, the one who has legal authority. So under this situation, the article is in his is with him. He takes it by a permit from the legislator or the possessor or the one who is legal authority on this article. Example on these on this second type, which is the trusted bearer, is number one, the one known as al-wadi', and this is the person with whom something is deposited. So as to preserve. This is known as al-wadi'. He is a trusted bearer. The second is al-wakil. The second is al-wakil, the agent, the commissioned person. And he is the one who is authorized to dispose the affairs during life, affairs, financial affairs, during one's life. The third is al-ajir, the one who a workman, a laborer, an employee, a hired one to do the work for you. This is known as al-ajir. Also from this is al-murtahin, the one receiving the collateral put up as a security for a financial obligation to cover the amount if it should prove impossible to pay. This is known as al-murtahin. He's the one receiving the collateral put up as a security for a financial obligation to cover the amount if it should prove impossible to pay. Clear? This is known as al-murtahin. He is a trusted bearer. The fifth is the known as al-sharik, the partner. The sixth one is known as al-mudarab, the one who takes the property from its owner for the purpose of trafficking, trade meaning, therewith, on the condition that the gain should be between them two, or that the latter should have a certain share of the gain. This is known as al-mudarab. That clear so far? These are examples of those who fall under the under the category of the trusted bearer. The seventh is al-wasi. Al-wasi. This is the trustee to execute and manage or dispose the affairs of a person after the person's death. Not during lifetime, but after his death. I repeat the last point. Okay. The last point is about, known in Arabic as al-mudarab. One who takes the property, you know, the article, the property, from its owner. Why? He takes it for trade, to trade therewith, on the condition that the gain should be between them two, or that he should have a certain share of the gain. Is that clear? This is known as al-mudarab. Then the seventh is al-wasi, the trustee to execute or manage or dispose the affairs of a person after the person's death. So this, the management and the execution here takes place after the person's death. This one is known as al-wasi. Remember when we mentioned the wakil? The wakil before is the agent and the commissioned person during lifetime. You see that? This is different. The wasi is after death. The wakil during lifetime. Clear? The eighth example is al-wali, the guardian, the one assigned by the legislator as a guardian on the property of the orphan, or the foolish, or the insane. Clear? This falls under the same category. We are still talking about the trusted bearers. Okay. The ninth is known as al-multaqit, the finder of an article. The finder of an article. The tenth is Nadhir al-Waqf, the appointed responsible over the endowment. And the eleventh is the trusted of the judge, the one who is assigned by a judge. And these people, this category, they are not held liable except in cases of transgression or negligence. Falls under the same category is the renter. The one who rents or the tenant. He's not liable for the destruction as long as there is no transgression or negligence on his part. Is that clear now? Now, all of this is under the same part. What about the borrower? What about the borrower? There are two opinions regarding the borrower. The first opinion, and it is the saying of many of the people of knowledge, is that he is liable, irrespective. The second opinion, and this is the more correct opinion, is that the borrower is like the rest of these cases we mentioned. He's not held liable unless there is transgression or negligence on his part. Now, We go back now to the third category. The third category is the category of the wrongful bearer. Wrongful bearer. This person is the person whom the article falls under his hand without a permission from the owner or the legislator. This is like the al-ghasib. Al-ghasib. Anyone who wrongfully takes anything of value, taking what is another person's right. This is illegal possession. So in this case, he is liable for the article and for its utility. Example, he wrongfully took some person's, unjustly took some person's limousine for 1 month by force. And after 1 month, it was destroyed, burned. In this case, he is liable towards the car itself. Say, for example, 50,000. Also, he is liable for the utility during this period. So, therefore, the owner estimates how much money it makes during the day. And then he multiplies by 30 days. And this will be the utility, and he adds it up to the car in itself. Is that clear? So therefore, this wrongful doer is held liable towards the article and towards its utility, and service. Because his hand is a transgressing hand. Also, the breacher of trust is held liable. Unfaithful trustee. Also, if someone has a property or an article for someone else, and if he is asked to return it to its possessor or to the one assigned as an agent to the possessor, and then he refuses without any justified reason, then he is absolutely liable. Also, in the case of a person who may have found an object but he did not go and announce about it, he is also held liable because he had abandoned an obligation. And this is negligence on his part. And also some of the scholars are with the opinion that if he picks an object which he finds with the intention to possess it, then afterwards he intends to return it, and then it gets destroyed, then he is liable, because the obligation upon him is that he should give it to the authority in charge. And if some person, if some property of someone falls in the house of someone whose neighbor or the like, and he does not return it, and he does not inform the owner without having any excuse and the like, then he is also held liable. Take, for example, cloth from your neighbor falls, a piece of cloth falls, the wind blows it and it falls into your yard, and the duty upon you is to return it or to tell the owner. But if keeps it and says, no, if the owner comes, otherwise I will keep it. This is haram. This is unlawful, because this is transgression, and therefore in this case he is held liable. Now, what's the difference between transgression and negligence? What's the difference between transgression and negligence? Negligence is known as tafreet. Tafreet. And it means to neglect or abandon that which should be preserved. The second, which is called at-ta'addi, transgression, is doing that which is not permissible to do from management or running of affairs or usage. No, because in these cases, in both the negligence and the transgression, the person is like those who are known as who take wrongfully take other people's rights, and they fall under liability. Now, question, what is the ruling concerning these categories? Concerning with respect to these three categories, what's the ruling on the claim of returning what is trusted? What's the ruling on returning what is trusted? Meaning someone from these categories, okay, says, I returned the object, I returned the article. He claims that he returned them, he returned it. So, let's look at it from each category. With respect to the wrongful possessor, if he claims returning the article, then his statement is not accepted, because his hand is not a trustworthy hand. The second, the hand of the trustworthy one. There are three situations with respect to this category. If the person receives the article for his benefit, then his statement or claiming its return to the possessor is not acceptable. Like the borrower, the borrower is like, quote, the accused in reality. The second is the one who receives the article for the benefit of its possessor. Then his statement of claiming returning it is acceptable, because he received the article for the benefit of the possessor. The third is the one who receives the article for his own benefit and for the benefit of its possessor. Like the one receiving the collateral, like the one like the tenant. His statement of returning, claiming returning the article, is not acceptable. Why? Because in origin there is no return. There are two conflicting benefits: his benefit and that of the possessor. So they are in opposition, so they are in conflict, so they fall down, and then remains what? The origin. And the origin is no return. They fall down like the two proofs when they are in conflict. And the origin remains, and the origin is that there is no return, that it was not returned. This is the, or this constitutes the discussion on this foundation 14, which states that there is no liability upon the bearer of trust for destruction and damage of something if there is no negligence or deliberate transgression on his part. And we learned from this also that the bearer of trust fall into three categories, and the first category is the possessor and the wrongful possession and the rightful one or the trusted possession, and the rulings concerning each one of them. As-salallahu al-Ali al-Qadir, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high and all able, to benefit us from what we say and what we hear. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.